Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
1 week away from the Royal Rumble, but where's the build? Matt Hardy finds his way back to Impact, and Conor McGregor returns to the Octagon and loses to Dustin Poirier. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. Jason Agnew back here once again to take a look back at the week that was in pro wrestling and look ahead to my favorite event of the year, the Royal Rumble. But to tell you I'm concerned is an understatement. First up on the show tonight, I'll give you the weekly recap of wrestling news and then dive a little deeper with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Then it's time to chat Impact Wrestling. Yes, as the company continues to get press for their angle with AEW, we'll welcome along longtime Impact supporter Bob Kapoor from Slam Wrestling to chat about his thoughts on the return of the Matt Hardy brand to the Impact brand. And then in hour two, we flip to the other side of the angle. I welcome one half of our All Elite Weekly podcast combo, Joe Aguinaldo, and we'll take a look back at not only the Wednesday Night War, but everything from this past week in the world of wrestling television. Plus, we've got another matchup in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. All of that is to come in the next 2 hours, so stay with us for all of it, and let's kick into things with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, last week we discussed a change in date for WrestleMania in the news. And this week, it's AEW that's on the move with their pay-per-view. AEW Revolution was originally set for February 27th, but Dave Meltzer has reported it's moving, with new dates being considered either Saturday, March 6th, or get this, Sunday, March 7th, at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida. AEW has never done a pay-per-view on a Sunday night before, so that would be an interesting choice. Personally, I'd be all for it. We'd go live afterwards. It would feel like when wrestling pay-per-views are supposed to happen on Sunday nights. And then this show is, of course, the main event. Speaking of that pay-per-view, it's already noteworthy as it will feature the return of Sting. Yep, after Wednesday night's challenge from Taz, it looks like Sting and Darby Allin will be facing Brian Cage and Ricky Starks in a street fight at the pay-per-view. Now, it's unclear right now as to whether this will be a live match or a cinematic production, but let's remember Sting is over 60 and has spinal stenosis, so that would lead me to believe cinematic. Keeping with pay-per-views, next week is, of course, the Royal Rumble, and Dan the Mouth Lavransky and I will be doing our live after show on our flagship station, TSN 1150. Be sure to tune in, join us for that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Now, we've got the after show, but if the ridiculous pre-show from WWE is not enough for you, well, guess what? The return of WWE Backstage is happening with a Royal Rumble special. The show will be hosted by Renee Pregnant Paquette, Booker T, and Paige. WWE Backstage will air Saturday, January the 30th at 8 p.m. on FS1. In Wednesday night ratings news, despite the presidential inauguration happening earlier in the day, both AEW and NXT rebounded this week. Dynamite averaging 854,000 viewers on TNT. That's up 12.1% from last week. NXT, 659,000 viewers on the USA Network. That is an increase of 19.6%. So it looks like, with all the presidential stuff out of the way, we are back on track for Wednesday nights. At least for now. However, perhaps not for long. You see, news broke this week about NBC Sports Network shutting down at the end of the year. Now, NBC will be migrating some of that network's sports programming to the USA Network. As a result, this move might have added impact on professional wrestling because USA, as you know, is home to WWE Raw and NXT. Now, while Raw is one of the USA Network's signature shows and very high-performing, NXT will have a direct conflict with the NHL moving to USA. Both have Wednesday night's time slots. So we'll chat with Dave Meltzer about the implications of these broadcasting decisions in the next segment. Now, as for this Wednesday night on the other network, you may see a vaguely familiar face on Dynamite this week because Ryan Nemeth will be taking on Hangman Page. Now, Nemeth is known on the indies as Hot Young Briley. He's the brother of WWE's Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth. He hasn't wrestled since 2018, but he was in the crowd on last Wednesday's Dynamite. So interesting that AEW has decided to pull a semi-familiar face. I mean that because he kind of looks like Dolph, because they're brothers. On the NXT side of things, this week's show capped off with a fight pit match. Timothy Thatcher taking on Tommaso Ciampa. And there were rumors after the respect angle, these two may find themselves in a tag team together. Well, we can now confirm that not only are they going to be a tag team, but they're an entrant in the Dusty Classic. And they've already had their first match on 205 Live. Yeah, that's right. An angle that was your main event on NXT led to their first tag team pairing on 205 Live. Brutal booking and storytelling. Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa took the place of Ashante the Adonis and Desmond Troy, who were both destroyed by Karrion Kross. So on 205 Live, they defeated Tony Nese and Aria Davari to advance in the Dusty Classic. Too much, too fast. When you have so much TV time, why bother? Also on 205 Live this week, there was a women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic match as well. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell defeated Gigi Dolin and Cora Jade. Dolin is formerly Priscilla Kelly. Jade, formerly Elena Black from the indies. So let's just say you're someone who has been missing Jinder Mahal on your television. Well, first of all, I question your taste in wrestling. But secondly, Tuesday is going to be your lucky day. WWE has announced that Superstar Spectacle, which is their program that is geared towards their market in India, is going to premiere on the WWE Network at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. That's the same time as the special will debut on Sony 10.1, Sony 10.3, and Sony Max in India. And yes, Indus Shear and the Bollywood Boys will also be on that card. Big Tuesday. And speaking of Big Tuesdays, after their appearance on Tuesday night's Impact Wrestling show, it was announced that Private Party with Matt Hardy will challenge the Good Brothers, that's Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, for the Impact Tag Team titles at No Surrender on Saturday, February 13th. That is not a traditional pay-per-view, but rather is an Impact Plus event. Oh yes, also in the world of Impact, James Storm returned this past week, but at last check, it was a one-off and he has not re-signed with the company, at least not yet. If you're wondering about how the AEW Impact relationship came about, Tony Khan appeared on Renee Paquette's Oral Sessions podcast and stated that it was Kenny Omega's idea to begin the relationship. He said, quote, "This was something Kenny brought up that I thought was a great idea. I give 100% of the credit to Kenny." So yes, friends, we can pretty much conclude that the invisible hand is even more so that behind the scenes than he is on camera. Don Callis, just step by step, more and more like Paul Heyman every day. Once again, you can check out that whole interview, Renee Paquette and Tony Khan. It is on Renee Paquette's Oral Sessions podcast. And speaking of podcasts, and listen, I'm not going to get in depth on this, but I did want to report it. So The Undertaker, or should I say Mark Calloway, was on Joe Rogan's podcast this past week. Apparently, he made some comments about how the wrestlers of his era were real men and the wrestlers of this generation just like to play video games and ensure they look pretty. Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed, took issue with this on his Twitter, thanking those wrestlers from a previous generation that taught him to save his money and that video games in the locker room are healthy. And finally, a couple MMA notes here to round things out. Conor McGregor returned to the Octagon last night and was defeated by Dustin Poirier for the second round TKO. Afterward, Poirier said he was happy and that since they are now 1-1 against one another, maybe they could do this again sometime. That's a payday for Poirier that I'm sure he will not turn down. With the loss, you can bet we will not see the return of Khabib Nurmagomedov to face Conor, nor anyone in the division. But I'm happy to continue to sit here and speculate about a GSP-Khabib dream match. Because there's money there. Why, UFC, do you keep leaving that money on the table? First, GSP and Conor, not happening. Now, GSP and Nurmagomedov, it's there. GSP didn't say no. We talked about this last week. Make it happen. Also, an out-of-the-cage story from the world of MMA. Fedor Emelianenko said in a Thursday Instagram post that he is hospitalized with COVID-19. The 44-year-old is at a medical facility that specializes in treating those with the coronavirus. Russia's state-owned news agency RIA Novosti first reported Emelianenko's health status, but there is no news on how he got COVID nor what his current physical state is. We shall now take a break. When we come back, getting a little bit more in-depth, especially on that story about the USA Network taking on additional programming from the soon-to-be-defunct NBC Sports Station and how that may affect Wednesday nights. Perhaps NXT could be on the move, and that is great news for AEW Dynamite. More on that next with Meltzer. And then don't forget Bob Kapoor and Joe Aguinaldo still to come on this show, Sunday night's main event. It's what you're listening to on TSN Radio.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And, if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged, for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and well-stained pants.
Aw, man, you spilled beer on my shinny pants, bud.
Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Let's get a little bit more in depth into the news. Welcoming on Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And Dave, I just went over in the news pack. This NBC stopping their sports network, shutting it on down. What are the implications here of moving the NHL in particular to USA? This could be bad for NXT and also great for AEW, I guess.
I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. I think, obviously, it's going to be good for the USA Network because it's going to make them more prestigious with the sports content that a lot of people think is the future. But as far as AEW goes, you know, NHL runs Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing changes and they do get NHL next season, which is still up in the air,
yeah, so NHL's contract with them is expiring prior to next season, right? So this might be nothing, but it might be.
It might be nothing, and also yeah. they may go in there and decide that the NHL games are more valuable on the Peacock network to build a network.
Oh.
So that's a possibility as well. There's a lot of possibilities, but you want to keep some stuff on television. But yes, it's a very good possibility as well that they will go and just say that, you know, even though NXT greatly outrates the NHL games in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But the NHL is still a more prestigious property. And, you know, it could be, you know, you got to remember that things have changed greatly at the USA Network. Before, the USA Network was an autonomous network. It was run by Chris McCumber, and it was all about just them. It wasn't about any other network. So the deal was that you know, Vince McMahon had a lot of power within the USA Network because he produces the, you know, not just the highest rated show on the network, which he does, but also, you know, they do, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Miz and Mrs., and, you know, there's, you know, they use WWE talent to boost their ratings and other shows, and they have NXT. So WWE is very, very important to the USA Network. Now, to NBC Universal, the big company, WWE is something, but it's not anywhere close to the biggest thing. So USA Network may very well be sitting there going, like, we want to protect Raw as the number one rated wrestling show on cable, and to do that, we have to keep AEW down by putting NXT against them, you know, because that's the whole strategy.
Of course.
Vince's strategy as well. But on NBC Universal, the idea of, you know, we've got to keep Raw as the number one pro wrestling company on cable, they're not going to care. They're really not. It's like on their list of priorities, that's really low. So to them, the decision making of why are we putting this wrestling show that's going to do less ratings because it's going against another wrestling show head to head to keep TNT down, you know, it makes less sense in the big picture to NBC Universal. So I could see them, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I could definitely see them going like, look, if we're going to keep NXT, which is doing not well at all in the key demo,
yes,
if we're going to keep it, we're going to move it to a time slot where it can do well, because the one thing, it's, you know, like, none of this is supposition, okay? There's all kinds of evidence, because there's been dates pulled and NXT's gone on different dates and things like that. What we do know is that if you move NXT to Tuesday, its 18 to 49 numbers will go way up, because the 18 to 49 viewers, which are the key viewers, they are watching AEW in great numbers above NXT. You take them away, put it on another night, and many of them will watch NXT. So it's the best thing for NXT to get it away from Wednesday. NXT is basically the WWE sacrifice to protect Raw, because they're doing nothing to help NXT. They hurt NXT by, number one, they make NXT look like they lose every week, which is never a good perception. And also, they cut away probably 200,000 viewers and you know, probably 100,000 of them in 18 to 49, which is very valuable viewers, because they're going head-to-head with AEW. Now, they do hurt AEW, which is why they're there, you know, to keep AEW down. But, you know, it's kind of like you're cutting off your toes to, you know, cut off somebody else's toenail. And, you know, but it's so important to you because of the Raw and Raw's declining numbers and things like that. So it makes sense from a WWE standpoint if you look at it from a Vince McMahon ego pro wrestling standpoint. To USA, it even makes sense. To NBC Universal, I can't see how it makes sense. So it's going to be very interesting when these decisions go down. But, you know, if they don't have the NHL, they also may just not even think about any of this. Like, oh,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If they don't have the NHL, I don't expect it to happen. They'll just go, okay, whatever, you know.
We'll leave it in place.
Again, to them, wrestling's not that big of a deal.
Right. Let's talk a little AEW here. You know, we talked about the moving date of WrestleMania last week, but this week it's AEW Moving Revolution. It was supposed to be on February 28th. Now, 27. It could... 27. So it could be on March 6th or March 7th now. March 7th being a Sunday. That's very new for AEW. What's behind that decision?
Yeah, I think March 7th is the... I can tell you March 7th is the tentatively scheduled date as of 2 days ago. I haven't
really?
Checked since then. Yes, yes, yes. I haven't checked since then. But it's definitely... Because March 6th, you go against the UFC pay-per-view, and they don't want to do that.
Right, right.
Which is the Stipe Miocic-Francis Ngannou fight, which is a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good... You know, it's a solid pay-per-view. The week before, it looks like there's going to be a Canelo-Alvarez fight, and they definitely don't want to go against that. Even though there's not really, you know, I've studied it. There is a crossover. It's not huge, but it definitely exists. It's definitely several percent as far as AEW and UFC. There's really not a big crossover, maybe 2% of AEW with Canelo. So it's really wouldn't hurt that much, but, you know, you still don't want to do it. You know, I mean, as far as, like, cable companies... promotional help, they're going to all be in on the UFC or the boxing. They're not going to be in on you that week. So whatever that means, I don't know. But, you know, so if you're going to do it, you know, March 7th is absolutely makes the most sense. And it's also interesting because, you know, wrestling is a traditional Sunday pay-per-view, not Saturday.
Yeah, you bet. We've built a show on it for 20 years on this side of things.
Right. And AEW's always run Saturday because, you know, whatever. It always has. So if Sunday is a better day for wrestling pay-per-views, because they have a good show coming up, you know, in Sting's first match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's probably going to be Omega Moxley. But if you, you know, if their number is up, then it kind of tells you, hey, you know what? We should have been on Sunday all along. And if it's down, then it's kind of like, well, maybe we need to stay on Saturday. So it's a great experiment to do.
Interesting. Well, we definitely look forward to that on this show. Let's talk WrestleMania. Last week we talked about how delayed WWE seems to be with planning main events. And Roman Reigns is heading into the Royal Rumble against Kevin Owens again. His opponent for WrestleMania, two names seem to be popping up. One is Daniel Bryan, which he is not being pushed at all right now. The other one, Nakamura, is apparently rumored. And he wasn't even on SmackDown.
I was told Nakamura is not wrestling. And again, this is a week old, and things change every hour.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I do know I was told a week ago, because I asked specifically, you know, what's going on with Roman Reigns and WrestleMania, and it's like there's not a decision that's been made. There are two names, and I go, is it Bryan and Nakamura? And I was just told it's definitely not Nakamura.
Hmm.
So you can, you know, and that, you know, again, look, when the year with Kofi Kingston, over and over and over again, it's not Kofi Kingston, not Kofi Kingston, not Kofi Kingston. The fans willed it, and it was. But then again, there's no fans willing it as you know, with no fans, no real fans at the shows. So it's going to be harder to make that change. But a week ago, Nakamura was not in the plans. It was not under consideration. You know, a week from now, it could be. The other one, I was not told this, but I'm sure it's an outsider. Whoever that would be, I don't know. I mean, I would have thought Bill Goldberg, but they're using Bill Goldberg in this one. And I suppose they could go in there and have somehow The Miz lose the match. Drew McIntyre pins The Miz. Goldberg doesn't lose. And then go with Roman Reigns and Bill Goldberg, the match you wanted to see last year. I mean, I can easily see that scenario happening. But if it was going to be Bill Goldberg, why did you need to put him in the Royal Rumble then? You know, the Royal Rumble pay-per-view card, not the match.
Finally, let's chat a little MMA. Conor losing last night, Dustin Poirier. What, number one, was that a surprise for you?
I mean, I knew it could go either way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I was shocked. I did favor Conor. I thought he was the more skilled fighter. I still think he's the more skilled fighter, but he was rusty. And you know what also is, you know, what Conor has been doing recreationally, it takes miles off of your chin. We've seen it with fighters, all the 80s fighters. So that blast, that, you know, granted, I mean, the strategy of Dustin Poirier, take out the leg, worked perfectly. So you can't knock that and say, well, you know, it wasn't Conor's chin. I think Conor would have stood up to those punches, but I think that with one leg, I think Dustin Poirier still would have beat him strategically wise. But I also did not think this was. I didn't think that this was the same Conor McGregor when it came to quickness. I didn't think when it came to accuracy of his punches, it was the same guy I saw missing and stuff that he used to hit on. And that's a combination of inaccuracy and a combination of living the good life. And you know, Dustin wanted it more, without a doubt. And Dustin's team had the winning strategy. And so that's what happened. I think that. You know, on that night with that strategy against the old Conor, if he would have gotten past round one, Dustin was going to beat him. Conor may have still been able to take him out in round one, the younger Conor, I think.
Right.
And I think I would have had a good chance, actually, at doing that. But this Conor did not have that. And, he really did not have a good chance of winning that fight when I replay it the way it went down. Conor's going to have to learn to be able to defend against those kicks. And I'm sure that will be his next thing, but you know what? I mean, he's not the guy he once was. I mean, it's exactly what he said. Now he's saying he's going to fight over and over again. I mean, remember when he was younger, it was like, as soon as he starts losing it, he's going to get out with his money. And every fighter says that, and very few fighters actually do that.
Very true. All right, Dave, for The Observer this week, what can people find?
I'm sure we'll have a lot more about those stories that we talked about with NBC and, you know, the McGregor and I never know what's going to pop up in a week, you know, especially on Sunday. So much happens, you know. I mean, whatever happens on Raw, we'll probably have a lot more on the Rumble and probably some stuff on Mania by then. And, you know, whatever else. The NBC Universal thing right now is the biggest story, but, you know, we've also had a situation where almost every week I'm writing multiple obits. So who knows? That usually ends up being one of the big stories every week.
Before we go, Dave, we're doing this in the show a little later. I've asked our listeners to contribute. I'm going to ask my co-host, Joe Aguinaldo, to your picks, Royal Rumble winners, men's and women's. What do you think?
Okay. Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
And if it was me, Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
So that would be my pick. As far as like who they would go with, you know, I think there's a real good chance it's Alexa Bliss as far as who they would go
really?
With.
Really? Oh, boy. I actually foresee, Dave, an interruption in both Rumbles that has a potential to ruin the magic that they have by using this magical Bray and Alexa angle and really throwing things off this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I expect if Alexa Bliss is in there that you have to have that.
Ugh.
Because people are going to expect it.
Well, that is the next time we will connect with you, Dave, right after the Royal Rumble when we are live on TSN Radio. Look forward to chatting with you, and I hope we're wrong.
I kind of do, too.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, Dave. Thanks so much.
Okay. Have a great week.
You too, my friend. All right. Now, as we were saying, Dave Meltzer will join us live next week after the Royal Rumble, where hopefully all of these predictions are not coming true. But we'll be on our flagship TSN 1150, myself and Dan the Mouth of Vransky, immediately following next week's Royal Rumble. Going to take a break, come back. We'll dive a little further into our tournament, the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, and do a matchup next. And then Bob Kapoor and Joe Aguinaldo. There's still lots to come. Stick with us. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Ah, crackling rolls of geet on board. We gonna ride till there ain't no more gold. Taking it.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is yous?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
It's time for everyone's favorite game show!
All I do is win, 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 no matter what!
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they stay there!
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. We are well into the tournament, our third matchup, and that means it is our third-ranked competitor, Jay, formerly of North Bay, now in Toronto. Jay, you made it through the qualifying round and did very well, but, I mean, did you watch all of the TV in depth this week and ready to play?
No, I didn't, to be completely honest. No, it's like, wrestling's like a abusive relationship, you know? It's just, you don't want to watch, but you just kind of you just kind of hang in there because you love it.
Yep.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean. So your opponent today ranked 14th. Shane, Jason doesn't seem confident in stuff from this past week. How did you do with your viewing?
Because this week's Raw was so bad, can we please have questions on one division? Because I don't want to admit I watched Raw.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. We will see how it goes. It's five questions each. No steals. And let's see how much you guys can remember. Jay, you are player one because you had the higher seed. First up, your question is, which AEW tag team invaded Impact this week?
Private Party.
That is correct. Very good. First point for you. Shane, your question is, with Alex Shelley still not available to wrestle, who took his place at Chris Sabin's side this week?
Impact was the one show I didn't watch this week.
Uh-oh. No guess?
No, I'm going to have to pass.
The correct answer is James Storm took his place.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, you're ahead despite that no confidence vote to start things off. But now we go to the wonderful world of Monday Night Raw for this question. When Matt Riddle was complimenting MVP's suit, what movie character did he reference?
Was it Gordon Gekko?
Gordon Gekko is correct for a second point. Very good, Shane, to you for this. When Elias and Riker were chatting about their match last week, what classic children's character did Elias reference?
Thomas the Tank Engine.
That is correct. You definitely have to get that one. I believe it is a UK creation. Next up, we go on Dynamite, Jay. On Dynamite, during the vignette at Kenny Omega's place, when Don Callis sent away Alex Marvez, where did he tell Nakazawa to take him?
Oh, I love that promo.
Yep.
And I love Don Callis. I'm going to say take him to the dungeon.
The dungeon is correct. He did. He said, take him downstairs to the basement, take him to the dungeon. Very good. Jay, for someone who didn't watch all that much, you are doing very well with a perfect score right now. Shane, here we go for your question. On Dynamite, what nickname was Layla Hirsch labeled as? She came out and was labeled as what, Layla Hirsch? Oh, it is legit. Layla Hirsch was her name. Well, listen, that means, Jay, if you get this, you do have the mathematical victory, getting four. What wrestler that appeared on AEW will be taking part in the Women's Dusty Classic under the name Gigi Dolin?
I don't know.
Oh, that is Priscilla Kelly for that one. Shane, that keeps you alive here, but you must get this. Who showed up on NXT and assisted Lucha House Party to take out Escobar, Wild, and Mendoza?
Congratulations.
He's tapped out. He's tapped out, ladies and gentlemen. Jay from formerly of North Bay, the correct answer there, by the way, Kurt Stallion showed up. But Jay, you managed to get three out of the four that you were needed. That's a mathematical win right there. You've defeated Shane. The favorite has won this one. Congratulations. We'll talk to you in the next round.
Thank God there was no SmackDown questions.
They were coming next. They were coming next. Okay, we have to take a break because what is coming next for us is Slam Wrestling's Bob Kapoor to discuss the Impact AEW angle, more so from an Impact perspective. We will do that next, and Joe Aguinaldo to come in the second hour of the show. Stick with us. It is Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Touching me, touching you.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
No disrespect, guys. This is a private conversation, not a private party.
No. You don't speak to them. They're not experienced enough to speak for themselves. You speak to me. I'm the spokesperson. As a matter of fact, all four of you should be down on your hands and knees thanking me. You should be praising me. Because in 2016, I put Impact Wrestling single-handedly on my back, and I saved it from going bankrupt. The four of you have a spot, you have a job because of me.
I am myself to no one there.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's crazy how each week now on the show we have a reason to talk about Impact. And a lot of that, pretty much all of it, is due to this AEW angle. Now that's at least for us. But this gentleman that is now on the line with us follows Impact, does reports for Slam Wrestling on the product, and has been a loyal Impact viewer. Well, Bob Kapoor, did you ever stop watching Impact, or has it always been like your primary product?
Well, it's not been my primary product. I'd say WWE is still my primary product, but I do cover Impact for SlamWrestling.net. I did stop watching when they lost their TV deal, obviously, because I didn't have access to the online show, where I just didn't bother watching it online many years ago. But since it's been on TV again, and the Fight Network, I've been watching it regularly.
Yeah, it is really easy to find up here in Canada, because all you have to do is order the Fight Network and you get it. Okay, so obviously it is Bob Kapoor from Slam Wrestling who joins us. I'm not going to put Lavransky on the line with you, so this will be a much more gentle conversation, Bob, but trust me, we will revisit the two of you standing on polar opposite sides of wrestling fandom at a later date. I wanted to get your take on the AEW angle. I think we spoke when it was just starting, but a lot of people have said this is very beneficial to Impact and are questioning why AEW is doing this and how it helps AEW. What have you thought about the angle and how it's going so far?
Well, I'm more excited about the possibilities of where it can go than what's happened so far. I mean, I've liked what they've done, but I think that they've dropped the ball a little bit in a couple areas. I would say I enjoyed the initial shock value of, you know, Kenny Omega and Don Callis teaming up. But in terms of Impact and the way that they've been portrayed, I don't like that so much. Right. I don't think that Rich Swann has been presented well, and he's the Impact World Champion. He was getting jumped all the time on his own show. He looked stupid when he attacked or tried to confront the Impact guy or the AEW guys on the bus, and then they just came out from behind the bus and beat them up. And I don't think he should have taken the pin against Kenny Omega at the Hard to Kill. That was the first matchup between the two factions. And you've got your world champion getting pinned by the AEW world champion. So I didn't think that that was the right decision.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was speaking about that on the show last week. And when you're in a tag match, you know, it would actually make sense. I don't know if Kenny gets pinned, but you have maybe Rich Swann gets the pin, because it is very clear that in the hierarchy, obviously a lot more people are seeing AEW than Impact right now. So the lesser performer, at least perceived as the lesser champion due to viewership, should have been gaining the early advantage in the feud.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree 100%.
What do you think about the PSAs? There's been a lot of criticism about the PSAs with Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone. I mean, my history with Anthem is no secret, so I get a pretty strong giggle when people insult Impact, but it's weird to have that on Impact's actual show.
Yeah, it's weird because Tony Khan he's not a character on AEW, but he's become a character on Impact only. You know, he's always been mentioned on AEW. He's always in the back, and, you know, Tony said this and Tony's done this. But to be so overtly heelish on Impact and then not mention them at all on his own show, it just seems a bit of a incongruity on this whole storyline.
Now, when you look at what was done this week, we have Matt Hardy and Private Party showing up on Impact. Matt Hardy is someone that has a history with Impact. And actually, I mean, there was a legal battle with, you know, the Matt Hardy universe, the broken universe, to try to be able to use that. And that was all with Anthem. But it's funny. So he's the one that's showing back up. Appropriate, I find, Bob. But along with that, this is not a main eventer showing up. And even Private Party challenging Gallows and Anderson, I think Gallows and Anderson just have to run over these guys. What do you think?
I think so too. You know, they're the champions. The other thing is, if you look at it very closely, a lot of this storyline seems to be really just about getting the Good Brothers on Impact TV and vice versa.
You mean getting the Good Brothers on AEW?
I'm sorry, on AEW.
Yeah.
And even this, you know, the having Hardy and Private Party there to have the tag match. Yes, it was against James Storm and Chris Sabin, but the winner gets the title shot against the Good Brothers. So, you know, part of me is wondering how much of the angle is going to expand outside of that bubble. And I thought that bringing Matt Hardy in was good, just as you said, because of the history. And I think bringing in Private Party, it's a good opportunity for them to get some additional exposures and some more experience in the ring. But my fear is that this whole thing is going to be only about the Bullet Club expansion, and very, very little other crossover is going to happen.
Well, I mean, we've already seen the other crossover, though. I mean, to their credit, we do have Matt Hardy and Private Party crossing over. And I would think, Bob, one of the things that I've been saying on this show over and over is AEW, to me, has one significant weakness. And it just happens to be a strength of Impact. And that's the women's division. I've never seen anything really great out of the AEW women's division. I was never a fan of even Riho when she was there. But as far as Impact goes, people like Jordynne Grace, and I was going to say Taya Valkyrie, but she seems to be on her way out. AEW, though, now doing the women's tournament, I personally think it would be beneficial if somehow, some way, you got someone like Jordynne Grace in there, and it would actually help AEW as much as AEW has been putting eyes on the Impact product.
Yes, I agree. I think that's a real good opportunity for them is the women's division. You know, with Taya gone and Kylie Rae having left recently, and now, and Tessa Blanchard, of course, I'm wondering if that's also a way to help get some of the prominence back to Impact's women's division, because they've lost some major players.
Yeah, you're right, now that you bring that up. I didn't even think about that because, yeah, thinking back, like Taya being such a big part, and Tessa Blanchard, who no one seems to want to touch at this point, but she could have been such a force going from Impact to AEW, probably staying with the women's division as opposed to what Impact did with her. But, I mean, that would have been someone extremely dominant to throw in there.
Oh, for sure. And you've got her father there. So there's an obvious connection. There's an obvious storyline that could be played up. But, you know, obviously it's her, whether it's reputation or whether it's the travel restrictions from Mexico or a combination of both, she's not there. And I don't know what she's doing, what her plans are. I would like to see it become part of this feud, but I understand that some of the backstage problems were amongst some of the people who are now in AEW. So whether or not that comes to pass is still in doubt.
Do you think that going forward, we see Gallows and Anderson as the invaders holding the AEW tag team titles? And do you think that we see Kenny Omega holding the Impact Championship to offset that?
I don't know. It's difficult because, and this is, I think, the other bit of confusion for me is, there's not a lot of definition in this feud on who's the babyface, who's the heels, right? The Good Brothers, they're bad guys, you know, they're heels on Impact because they sided with Kenny Omega. They're even heels in AEW. Oh, sorry. But then in the last match, or in the match coming with Private Party won by cheating.
Right.
So does that make the Good Brothers the good guys in that match? So I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I expect that, as you said, Good Brothers will probably win the match, retain the titles over Private Party. Whether or not they challenge the Young Bucks is the interesting question.
I think that has to be the case. There's no reason to do this unless you get that matchup in the end. That's what people want to see. I think that you want that Omega Swan match, and I think people are letting us, you know, we're going towards that, and I think we're definitely going towards Gallows and Anderson versus the Young Bucks. I'd actually say that is the higher profile match out of the two.
I think so, and again, that's because of the way they've position Rich Swann to some extent.
True.
I actually don't think that Omega and Swann is the marquee matchup. I think they should actually pivot it and make it Omega and Moose, because at that hard to kill pay-per-view, I thought Moose had the better, had the best performance of that match.
Well, Moose probably had one of the best performances of his career in that match. But Moose before that, I'm glad Lavransky's not on the line right now. He was his worst performer of 2020. I mean, Moose has had a tough road, but I can't see them doing that at this point. I do think that they're headed towards Swan and Moose will be competing before they get to whatever they're going to be doing with Kenny Omega and Swan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have a title match scheduled before the next major confrontation between the two teams on a special or a pay-per-view.
Well, that would be interesting, but I do think they're going to keep it with Swan. We shall see. Bob, as always, appreciate you joining us on the show today, and I look forward to chatting with you again, because this, if nothing else, it's something exciting, and it is something to talk about, and it's already better than the WCW invasion of WWE back in the day.
Well, that's a low bar, but yes, that's true.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Jason. Bye now.
Remember, you can check out Bob's reports each week about Impact at slamwrestling.net. Taking a break, a whole nother hour to come, though. Joe Aguinaldo joins me next, and we will look back at the week that was in the world of pro wrestling and a very, very terrible edition of Monday Night Raw. There's good stuff, too. Stick with us. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Song sung blue. Everybody knows one.
Thanks for finding Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. If you ever can't tune into the show live or miss a part or just want to hear it again, the shows are available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And it's only a buck a show. Plus, you get access to all of our patron-exclusive podcasts, which include NXT TakeOver review shows. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's only a buck a show, and we appreciate the support.
Whatever Rex the Bliss had in mind, those plans just got thwarted by us.
Oh, my God. Did they?
Oh, my God. Caught by Bliss. Look at those sick, demented eyes. That smirk. Sister Abigail. Alexa Bliss has pinned the Raw Women's Champion.
Girl, you'll be your woman soon.
It is the second hour of Sunday night's main event. Welcome back. A little bit of Raw there. For the Raw main event, Alexa Bliss, who hasn't been in the ring for a very long time, beating Asuka for a reason I am baffled by. Welcoming on, though, to join me for this hour to explain all of these things to me. He is one of the hosts of All Elite Weekly, one of our Patreon podcasts, Joe Aguinaldo on the line. Joe, can you, you know what? I won't even question you with that. You are a very positive individual. Out of the five of us that run this ship that is Sunday night's main event, I think you are the most positive person. And I am going to ask you a very difficult question to start things off. Can you give me something positive out of Monday Night Raw this past week?
Actually, yes, I can. AJ versus Ricochet.
Oh, you're right.
The match, like, okay, forget the storyline and all that stuff. The match itself was really good. And that transition into the Styles Clash was amazing. I was like, wow.
Yeah, Mark and I were saying on the podcast on Tuesday, like, if there's, you know, we tend to have the saying of we watch Raw so you don't have to. And that is the one thing you should go out of your way to see from Monday Night Raw. That finish of that match was wonderful. But Joe, immediately after that, it was the wrong way to go. Ricochet should have won that match.
Yeah, like, and again, that's why I said, if you just look at the in-ring action, that thing was great. Everything else, though, was like, huh? It was a bit of a head-scratcher. And look, here's the only other thing I can offer you from a positive perspective. So I had not watched the show for a couple of weeks. Just I needed to take a break. So when I did watch the show on Monday, I kind of thought, all right, this is all right. And then Randy Orton said something along the lines of encapsulates my thoughts like this mask encapsulates my face. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nope, done with Raw. So like it was really let's say, not easy show to watch.
Well, you start off Monday Night Raw this past week, and Randy Orton is there. Apparently, he's burned. They got some makeup on his nose. He's wearing the Destroyer mask, which I guess is a compression mask for when you do have a severe burn. But ultimately, you know, much like Rey Mysterio's eye, Joe, where do they go here? They're not going to take time out to do makeup on Randy Orton, and one day that mask is going to come off, and he's going to be miraculously healed.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's just, like, that's, you know, WWE MO. It's like, all right, let's do this for now, and then we'll figure it out as we get there. And so, like, you know, part of the weird entertainment is, how are they going to extricate themselves from this particular situation or gimmick? You know, and again, like, that promo, you know, it was a Randy Orton very slow promo.
Long, Joe.
Yeah, it was like, what was it, like 15 minutes?
We're not quite that long, but it really emphasized how AEW slims down their promos when they're pre-recorded and people get to the point. It's like, Randy, I know you speak slowly, but get to the point.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's, and then the other part of it, though, is that, like, when you, if we're going to do that comparison, like, again, Randy Orton using the word encapsulate, that didn't work. Like, you know what I mean? It was, the minute I heard that, I was like, oh God, really? Like, could you at least make him sound like it's his own, you know, sort of his own vocabulary? Because, yeah, that promo to me was just like, wow, what are we doing here? And look, it's not like the first time we've seen a, whatever, 10 to 20 minute promo with Randy Orton in the last 3 months, you know what I mean? Like,
it's every week.
I counted it one week. This was back in December, and it was like 7 out of 8 promos at the beginning of Raw started with either like this Randy Orton Drew McIntyre thing that they were doing, and I was like, wow, that's wow, you know. And then we started one with, you know, Monday, so I was very confused about that. And again, I can't get around the word encapsulate.
The Royal Rumble. Joe, you know this. All of our listeners who have been listening to me for a very long time know that I am still giddy for the Royal Rumble. It is my favorite event of the year. The 2020 Royal Rumble was my favorite pay-per-view because I thought it was a very good show. You had the return of Edge. You had Drew McIntyre's launch into stardom with being in the Rumble and winning the Rumble. A lot of good stuff happened with last year's Rumble. This year, after watching Raw this week, there is potential that between Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss, this Rumble could be, both Rumbles for that matter, could be completely ruined by the supernatural interruption. I foresee fire in the Rumble, and I already dislike where it's going.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, like, the I'm with you. Like, I enjoy the Rumble. I would argue that it's my, depending on what happens with WrestleMania, it's usually one of my top two pay-per-views from WWE. But yeah, like, I'm not sure, especially because, like, coming back to this promo with Randy Orton, like, it's such a, like, a, let's say, a top of the card like feud.
Yeah, well, they're making it that. Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, like, and that's what I mean. Like, because it's Randy Orton, who is traditionally, you know, like it or not, he's traditionally near or at the top of the card, that pretty much means the Fiend is going to be involved somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. Like, I don't want to see Inferno Royal Rumble. You know,
twice.
And yeah, exactly. Even with Alexa Bliss. Now, that said, I don't think the Alexa Bliss one is going to be as bad because I don't think she's near the top. But yeah, like, the bottom line is, I don't want to see the Fiend or Inferno or, you know, Supernatural Royal Rumble. Like, this is still a special pay-per-view. It's still a special event. It's the start to Road to WrestleMania. Having, you know, quote unquote Supernatural to me just would kind of ruin that.
I'll one up you here. As far as Alexa Bliss goes, why is she in the Rumble at all? I started this segment, we started this segment by hearing Alexa Bliss defeating the champion, Asuka, in the main event of Raw in a non-title match. If you defeat the champion in a non-title match, why aren't you automatically the next contender for said championship?
And you bring up a good point. Actually, I wanted to bring that up too, because, yeah, like, Alexa won so why, I mean, you just say, I want a title shot. I beat you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it's wrestling 101 stuff. So when that segment kind of happened, it was like, oh, well, why is she there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why is she in the Royal Rumble? She should get a, like, there's your title shot for Asuka, right? I mean, unless they're going to do something else, but yeah, very confusing. Very, I didn't quite understand that booking either.
Okay, Joe, let's move over to SmackDown then, as we've already kind of led there. Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, no, before we get there, let's talk SmackDown. And you said that this is a better written show than Raw, and you liked it more. So what was positive for you? What stuck out on SmackDown this week?
Okay, so I'm still really digging this Roman, Samoan Godfather character. I think that's been mint since it started, and it's just gotten better. If I'm just sort of throwing stuff out there, don't laugh, but Billie Kay is such a joy to watch right now.
Oh, I'm not laughing. I love Billie Kay, man.
And it's like everyone thought Peyton Royce was going to be the star of when they broke up. It's like, nah, Billie Kay is way more interesting right now.
Well, Peyton is lost, and I'm wondering what's happening with Peyton. I think that there's a number of things that are working against her. One, who her husband is. I think may be holding her down. Two, the fact that she tweeted out, I will never be in another tag team except if it's with Billie Kay, and then she was immediately put into a tag team.
Yeah, that couldn't have helped her at all. And then the other thing I kind of like, if I hope I'm reading this correctly, is that, okay, Daniel Bryan comes out, cuts the promo, right, about the Royal Rumble, makes him feel alive, and then Cesaro comes out, and, you know, he had the win over Daniel Bryan last week, and he does this open challenge thing, and Dolph comes out. Like, I really hope this means that they're at least going to give Cesaro a chance to shine, you know, at the Rumble. I'd really like to see that. And then, okay, this is the other really good thing that I thought, because with regards to a promo.
Okay, hold on. But Daniel Bryan and Cesaro, I don't want to leave there yet, because when I'm watching this, okay, so Bryan comes out, Cesaro's there, Cesaro puts out the open challenge. Was it just me, or did you not expect Nakamura to answer that open challenge?
That was my initial thought.
Me too.
And then when Dolph came out, I was kind of like, oh.
Like, yeah, I mean? Exactly. Dolph is just been there too long, forgettable, many coats of paint that never seem fresh. But Nakamura, you know, there seems to be a recent push. We saw it in the Gauntlet match, and he seemed to be flipping him to a baby face. And there are still rumors of him and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So if you're going to divide these two and Cesaro is staying as a heel, that did seem like a key place for Nakamura. And looking up and down SmackDown, there was no Nakamura.
No. And again, that would have been a great place. And you could have, like, you know, you could have kept that going until the Rumble. Maybe, like, Cesaro gets the win tonight, but Nakamura... Or sorry, not tonight, on Friday, but Nakamura is the one that eliminates him from the Royal Rumble or something like that. You know, but I am glad though that Cesaro is getting a bit of a push, because I love that dude. I've liked that guy since he's come into WWE.
So what is your other positive point that you're going to throw me from the SmackDown show?
Kevin Owens' promo.
I
get, you know, the scripted nature and all that fun stuff of the WWE, but Kevin Owens' promo I thought was like, you know, younger WWE superstars, if you want to know how to do a promo in the WWE environment, watch that guy. Because that, I thought, was a great promo where he used just enough reality with his grandparents and his dad to push the work. And I thought that was a really well done promo.
Except he'll lose at Rumble.
Okay, let's stay positive here.
No. I'm here to be the other side of things. Great promo, but ultimately, don't you hold on to that promo when your character is building towards a win?
You would, but I agree. I don't. I would be very, 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 very shocked if Kevin Owens wins at the Rumble. And this is probably the thing that upsets me the most about that match is that KO. Like, you know, like, sure, I guess he's being used to build up Roman Reigns' character. I get it, but man, that just bothers me, because he's been beaten down so badly in this feud. he's just gonna lose again.
I don't feel like the character is being built up at this point. I think now, after seeing this match, what, two pay-per-views in a row already, it is starting to hurt the character because it's become tired. And the repetitive nature of it is it's almost a bit of a Randy Orton scenario with Roman Reigns, where they don't want Randy to lose, so he keeps running over people. And I feel as though Kevin Owens is going to be run over again at the Royal Rumble. I don't know if it sounds silly to say or not, but I was looking forward to Adam Pearce and Roman Reigns somehow. And I know we got some of it this week. I think it could have been built up better, and they could have done a much better job at the Rumble with that fresh match than running over Kevin Owens again.
Yeah, you know what? You have a point, because if they left it with a last man standing or a no DQ, and something with smoke and mirrors, you probably could have had like Kevin Owens interfere on behalf of Adam Pearce. You're right. Like I'm kind of torn about that, but like I understand where you're coming from, because Pearce versus Reigns, that's a fresh matchup. I know it's supposed to be, you know, supposed to be like an exec versus a wrestler, but you know, why not? And again, you could have KO, you know, be at ringside or helping out and still make a believable match. I think Adam Pearce does, you know, he's an ex-NWA champion, so he's got to have some skills in there.
All right, Joe, we got to take a break. When we come back, let's flip to the world of AEW. It is what you are covering each and every week. We'll get your thoughts on that. NXT a little bit later, and we'll hold off on Rumble predictions till our very final segment of the show. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, doing so on TSN Radio.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, you can get an extended version of this show commercial free each and every week by becoming a patron of the show at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Plus, we also dish out numerous other weekly podcasts, including Raw and AEW Dynamite reviews, all patron exclusive, and all can be in your inbox for just $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.